Well, good morning, you healthy ones. Good to see you. Now, we're going to read from Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Those of you who are opened at Psalm 15, thinking that's where I was going this morning, I'll explain in a moment or two why we're going to read from Galatians. Let's turn to it. Galatians chapter 1, Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 1. It's a key epistle in the Bible, because it teaches us a number of things. First of all, that we have to face the deceptions of men. When men tell lies about the gospel, we don't ignore it, and like the ostrich, stick our head in the sand and pretend it's not happening. There's a lot of Christians want to do that. I have to tell you, God made me different. When I hear that false representations made of the Savior and His Word, I charge out. I have to say that. I charge out with the sword, that is the Word of God, in my hand. And I lay about me as hard as I can. So we're taught that we shouldn't ignore. Paul didn't ignore the errors that were taking place in Galatia. But he challenged the lie and set out the truth. Well, I better get to the reading. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul's showing his credentials here. That's what he's doing. When a policeman comes to your door, I think it right to say that the first thing he has to do is to produce his card that proves he is a real policeman. And on that warrant card, you know, all the details about him and the photograph and everything else showing that he's a real policeman. Well, that's what Paul's doing, in a sense. He's showing he's a real servant of God. He hasn't been appointed by man, but he's appointed by God. Plenty appointed by man. In fact, the world is blighted by preachers appointed by man. And there's a sad lack of those who come with a true warrant card from God. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You can't mention God without breaking into praise. Oh, that all of us might have that mind, that when we think of God, we break into praise because he has done so much for us. Verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, placed under the judgment of God. As we said before, so say I now again. He's repeating himself. He only just stated this, but he's going to say it again. That shows how important it is. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. We'll end the reading there, knowing the Lord will bless these few words to our hearts. Today I planned to start the study of a new psalm, the Psalm 15. That's why we sang it this morning. So at least we got that far. That lovely, lovely psalm we sung. But very early this morning, thoughts came to me that caused me to change my plan concerning what it is I should speak to you about. On Thursday, when I generally would be back with you, you're off on a holiday. You know that, of course, I'm sure. It's a holiday called St. Patrick's Day. It's a bank holiday, as we call it here. The banks close, many businesses and schools close for
one-day holiday.
And as I thought about that, I felt that I should say something about Patrick. Very likely, the thought that came to me this morning was prompted by an email that I got yesterday from a Christian lady who was questioning, is Patrick real? Was he a real person? Because when I was young, we never heard anything about him, we never thought about him. Churches never said anything. Schools certainly never said anything, except sort of put out the idea that it was all myth and fancy, the story of Patrick. So she asked me, could I shed any light on it? Well, I sent her some articles, or at least directed her to where there were some articles. And so these things caused me to feel before God that the Lord would have me talk to you today about Patrick. I know that on Thursday, across the world, there will be many celebrations. And those celebrations will have nothing whatsoever to do with all that Patrick stood for and proclaimed, but rather men in their blindness and ignorance and love of sin have turned the day that is supposed to mark the life of this man, Patrick, turn that day into a day of sinful celebration and the setting forth of fairy tales and myths. Here in Enniskillen there will be a parade, I'm sure. Don't go anywhere near it. Unless you want to take a picture of a collection of dodos and fools who think they're celebrating something, but all they're doing is showing themselves to be silly, blinded, ignorant, and know nothing about the truth. Was St. Patrick a real person? Yes, he was. Should we remember him? Yes, we should. Yes, we should. We owe much to him. We owe much to him. Let me say that what that lady said in her email is very true. Protestant churches and schools to which Protestant children go haven't mentioned the truth concerning Patrick. If they had a love for God and a love for the gospel, they would have mentioned him, and they would have taught the truth concerning him, and they would have opposed the silly notions that are believed about him here in Ireland and across the world. The Roman Catholic Church has taken upon itself to promote the story of Patrick, but what they promote is a lie. They don't tell the story of Patrick. All around the countryside there are statues purporting to be Patrick. And there he is with a big bishop's mitre, standing with a bishop's crook, garbed in robes associated with the Roman Catholic bishop. And that's all a lot of nonsense. That's a lot of nonsense. Patrick knew nothing of these things. Nothing whatsoever. But Patrick was a true person. He lived a long time ago, some 1,500 years ago. That's a long time ago. Mid-5th century. And despite the attempts of the devil and his agents, God has been pleased to maintain the truth of the gospel in this land. The truth of the gospel which was brought here by the man Patrick. Indeed, as a result of the witness and labours of Patrick, the gospel not only came to Ireland, but it went out from Ireland to Scotland, to England, to Wales, and further afield it went to France, it went to Germany, it went to Switzerland, and doubtless further still. And in those lands, there are place names that link with Patrick and the witness of Patrick and his disciples, those who followed after him, for they went out with the gospel into those lands, and I'm sure further than the lands I have just mentioned. I've mentioned those because I think there is documentary evidence to show that the man's influence spread that far. Now, there is an existence today Two documents. They're down in Dublin, written by Patrick. Two documents. And they're two documents that all the scholars are agreed upon are genuine. There's nobody coming forward and saying, those are fake. Those are not genuine at all. Nobody has said that. Roman Catholic theologians, they're agreed, yes, these are really the writings of Patrick. Protestant theologians say, yes, these are the writings of Patrick. So God has preserved, I believe, some of his writings, which tell us the truth concerning him. We don't have to believe or rely upon the notions that men put out. We have the record that Patrick left us. The two documents are comprised of, first of all, what he calls his confession, or his testimony. That's what that is. He tells his life story. And the other is a letter that was written to a man at the time. But the important document is his testimony. And in his testimony, he tells us about himself. He tells us that he came from a Christian home. Came from a Christian home. His father was a deacon in a church, in a Christian congregation. His grandfather's name was Potitus, which would suggest a link to the Bible, and the name Titus, and his grandfather was a gospel minister. He tells us where he was born, though we're not quite sure where the place that he mentions is. It says he came from a village called Bonavim Tabernaia. Now that's a Latin form of a village name. And we just really are not sure where it is. People have a variety of notions as to where he came from. It's likely he came from somewhere in Roman Britain. That is, the mainland that at that time would have been still occupied some degree by the Roman Empire, although its days were coming to a close. But that likely is where it was. Some even suggest that he comes from Kilpatrick in Scotland. The name Kilpatrick means the Church of Patrick. But whether that's the case or not, we just don't know. It's not really important where he was born. But while we can't be sure about where he was born, we do know where he was born again. You see, as a young lad, 16 years of age, think of that, just a teenager, he was taken captive by pirates from Ireland. There were always gangsters in Ireland, just as we have gangsters still today, up to no good. And these Irish pirates sailed across to Scotland, to England, to Wales, even further, and they would take people captive and then bring them back to Ireland and sell them as slaves. And that's what happened to Patrick. He was sold as a slave, and he began to work for a man, we believe, in County Antrim. We believe it was in the area of Slemish Mountain, which lies close to Ballymena. And he served that man, looking after his sheep. And it was while he was doing that, he, a bit like David, came to know the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. Now the fact that he had been brought up in a Christian home, his father was a deacon, his grandfather was a preacher, he would have known the gospel. Although as a lad of 16 he had not got saved. How many sons and daughters of good Christian parents don't get saved? Don't get saved. Turn their back on what their parents teach them. Well, that's what Patrick did. But when God in his providence brought him to Ireland, he was under affliction and distress, naturally missed his home, and he had many thoughts, and in the midst of it all, God drew near to him, and he realized, above all, that he was a sinner. Not just away from his family, but he was away from God. And Patrick could see it. He could see it. And after a time, not too long, short number of years, he managed to escape and return home. But after some time at home, God drew near to him again. he had placed upon his heart a burden for the people amongst whom he had been a slave, the people of Ireland. And God told him that he had to go back with the gospel. He who had been brought to Ireland by pirates and made a slave now had to go back to Ireland as a Christian with the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is believed that after quite a number of years of serving the Lord, he died and is buried in Downpatrick. We're not entirely sure that that's where he's buried, because men have put together so many myths about him. We're not sure. But what we are sure about is the message that Patrick preached. Because while there are many lies and myths and fairy tales that men have put together concerning him, we have the record of what it is he preached. And though back in the 5th century, error, falsehood, had begun to creep in among Christians, that always happened. I read to you from Galatians, and here is Paul speaking to the churches in Galatia. Those churches were only a few years old, but already error was coming in, falsehood was coming in, and Paul had to resist and seek to purge out this error. Well, error had come in to the professing Church of Christ back in the days of Patrick. Not to the degree that the truth of God was lost or completely undermined. There was still amongst the people the truth of God to a very, very large degree. And although in Patrick's writings we can pick out a thing or two that shows how error was creeping in, the vast bulk of Patrick's testimony is just the simple gospel. It tells how he was saved, how he called on the Lord, and then sent of God to preach the gospel. And under his preaching, and this shows God's blessing upon him, under his preaching, many thousands of people were saved in Ireland. He formed many hundreds of churches. From Ireland, there went out the light of God's truth to many countries. So there was a real work of God, real work of grace done back in the 5th century through the ministry of this man, Patrick. We ought to remember that. Oh, we don't want to have anything to do with the wickedness that men engage in, supposedly, to mark Patrick's life. We don't want to have anything to do with that at all. Drinking, dancing, frolicking about, most silly-like. No, we don't want to have anything to do with that, but we will remember that in the providence of God, God sent a man to this island, and the light that Patrick lit, the gospel lamp, never went out. It was greatly opposed, and there were times in the history of Ireland when it almost had disappeared, this truth of the gospel. But God was pleased to keep it alive, and we today enjoy the gospel that Patrick taught, and we rejoice in that fact. The devil has ever tried to corrupt the testimony and the witness of good men. He has done it with the Lord Jesus Christ's testimony. Look at what men do in celebration of the birth of Christ. The 25th of December is supposed to be the birthday of Christ. It's not. It was much earlier in the season. But he who is called the Holy One of God, men celebrate his coming into the world with the most unholy activities. That's the devil. That's the devil. The devil wants to say to men, you needn't worry about your sin. You needn't worry about being unholy. You can mark Christ's coming into the world with all sorts of wickedness. God will not mind. And so the devil ushers men and women down the road to hell. Think of what will soon be upon us, what men call Easter time. Those to mark the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the greatest of all victories over the devil. the triumph of God's plan of salvation, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead, having offered himself as a sacrifice for sin, which was accepted by the Father. That's why Christ rose from the dead. And the devil has come along, twisted it, corrupted it, and men engage in all sorts of antics today, supposedly celebrating the resurrection of Christ. That's the devil at work. He comes along to corrupt. Just as we read in Galatians 1, he ever seeks to corrupt the gospel, and he'll corrupt the gospel in your eyes. He'll tell you, I know God says you must be born again, but don't worry about it. You don't need to be saved. And even if you do, you can leave it off for a while. Boys and girls, none of us know how long we have to live, and it's well to be ready. And today, because God in his mercy brought about a situation where a young 16-year-old boy was brought to Ireland by pirates, and there he was saved. And when he escaped, God put it in his heart to come back again to Ireland and preach the gospel. Today, we're listening to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So remember, Patrick, in keeping with the truth that he taught, reject all the lies and the falsehoods and the deceptions that surround his name, that men have put around his name, and rather think of him the way you think of Paul, or Peter, or James, or John, or any of the disciples, men who served the Lord and preached the gospel. That's who Patrick was. Let's just bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank thee for thy mercy in the ages past to this island of Ireland. We thank you, Lord, that here today we walk in the footsteps of Patrick by thy grace and by thy love. For the gospel that thou didst send him to Ireland with is still being preached. O God, may each boy and girl here know what it is to embrace and trust the gospel Patrick taught, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. Bless our school, Lord. Bless our school. Undertake for it in this time of sickness. Bless the teachers today and strengthen them, those not able to be here because of sickness. Lord, look down in mercy upon them all. And remember that funeral today in Sandown Road. Lord, how it teaches us that we know not what a day will bring forth. Hear us now and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.